Well, hello and welcome, 2015. It is the Suck Essential Podcast, the first Thursday edition of this new year. James Sharman here, alongside Thomas Dubby.
All right.
And Brendan Dunlop.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Did you put an F at the end of my name? It almost sounded like it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Then Dunlop, you.
Droff.
Maybe Dunlop. That's where he was going.
Dunlop. Yeah.
Dunlop.
Sounds German, doesn't it?
Yeah. A little bit.
Dunlop! Sounds German now.
Brendan's second place in the quiz, Dunlop.
I was waiting for it. Yeah, when would the first comment be made about the Christmas?
17 seconds into the show.
Since? A lot of good response. People like the show, as you know.
Yeah. So?
I think the last question was a little bit anticlimactic there. Next time it was...
See, on paper, it made sense.
Yeah,
lots of points available, but you both...
No, it was a bit odd.
Well, it would have been fun if Bobby and Dunlop had done anything decent on that question.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
It is.
But I think you were the one person to get anything right on that last question.
Like, I got one guy. I got to the second round of that.
Did
and then just, you know, runaway Dobby here with his top 10 list. This is what we studied. But the problem is I also studied the Europa League. You never asked me that question.
No.
Who is the leading goal scorer in the group stage of the Europa League?
I didn't mention any MLS either, and I got abuse for that.
I feel like today there might be some MLS conversation.
There might be. TFC's
couple things.
Impending new signing.
Oh, boy.
Do you believe the reports? Oh, boy is a good word to describe that. But it was, as usual, a very busy Christmas schedule. Mm. Lots of stories. The window's open now. Players are moving left, right, and center. What has been the big story for you? Since last time we spoke, which was, December the 21st or something?
I think in the Premier League, I mean, which is clearly our bread and butter, I think the fact that many people, and I would say probably us included, thought that, you know, Chelsea was going to run away and hide with the league, and it was pretty much a done deal. And I think the gap got to as much as 8 points at one point. And the fact that it's now level, and they're exactly level on goal difference and goals for and goals against with Chelsea, we have a race and big time. And you knew Chelsea was going to have a bobble at some point, but it happened pretty quickly. I mean, it happened very quickly, actually, in about that three-week span, especially with all the games over that holiday season and that thumping at Tottenham. All of a sudden, they not only look human, but they look like maybe second best to Man City again. So that's quick.
What makes that Christmas period so good. I love it. I understand that, you know, it's not realistic to have that at too many points in the season. I understand why managers like Jose, obviously on the losing end, a bit more vocal, and you know, player agents for health and safety purposes think that it's unrealistic or unfair. But it's absolutely thrilling, and you need those points of the season where, you know, predictably Chelsea were going to hit a winter slump as they do every year. But for it to happen now at Christmas and still have half the season for us to watch out as a 2-horse race, I love it. But
so you don't think that Chelsea's still favorite after what's happened over the last couple of weeks?
Well, based on the season being the marathon, to go back to that old cliche, I still like Chelsea to win. I did it at the start of the season, what they've done so far, what, you know, the inefficiencies that I think City have, I still would pick Chelsea.
I do too, if I had a gun in my head, but the other thing you look at with Man City, I don't think Man City have even hit top form yet.
No.
And they've had injuries and they haven't really clicked, and yet they're still there despite that. So you wonder if Man City really do find that gear. I think it also depends a lot on what happens with these teams in Europe and how much, you know, they have going on outside of that. You think of Chelsea, they still have the League Cup, two legs against Liverpool coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They both still have the FA Cup, and they're both still in the Champions League. We'll see if and who gets through of the two of them. Obviously, Man City playing Barca, Chelsea playing PSG, both could go out. So you worry about, you know, longevity there, because the squads are going to, you know, that toll, we talk about all the fixtures, that's going to start to take its toll as the season goes on. And, you know, whoever gets dumped out of the Champions League quicker, probably Man City, maybe have a better chance of, you know, sustaining a longer run in the Premier League.
Maybe not. You look at that matchup in particular. I think the conversation started, Sharma's question was, what's the biggest story of, you know, since we last spoke? I think what's going on at Barca is crazy. To see Carles Puyol, who, you know, everyone has always labeled as like the perfect leader, the spitting image of class, the definition of class, excuse me, to see him leave so early on in his like boardroom tenure or whatnot, I think it speaks volumes to like what's really going on behind the scenes. Obviously what happened with Neymar and, you know, or excuse me, not Neymar, but the son of the world's richest footballer's dad. I think explains a lot. I think that maybe they're a bit vulnerable now. And this season, Barcelona haven't been as intimidating as they have in the past. They've got the weapons, but maybe City can sting them.
Trouble is, it's so difficult to gauge just how serious it is at Barcelona right now. Yeah. Because Spanish media, they love they love
Marca, the tabloids do love it.
You don't know what the truth is now. Zubizarreta leaving, it's a big deal, I suppose. Pioli leaving optically is very much a big deal. But the irony there is, you know, if Zubizarreta has been fired because of his lack of, you know, success in the transfer market, well, he never replaced Puyol to begin with.
Yeah.
He never got that centre-back, which is what they need. You know, they were given a bit of leeway with this ban in transfers. They were given another window last summer, and they obviously bought. They bought Luis Suarez. They bought Vermaelen. Sorry, is he even there right now? You know, he is not the replacement to Carlos Puyol, obviously. So, you know, there's a link there, but all these rumors about Leo Messi and where he might leave, when he might leave, if he leaves, like, come on, he's not
for
going
$1 trillion.
Yeah.
Is that what
Chelsea could get him for $300 million? Shut up! They're not going to get Leo Messi. I
mean, people need to write stories.
You know, anyone can leave in this day and age. Right? We see that over and over. But it's he's one player that's not going to leave, right?
I mean, why would one day
if he leaves,
it's
because he wants to leave?
Sure.
Right.
He'll end up in MLS when he's 40.
Well, Ronaldo is apparently, according to his agent, right?
Well,
a couple years' time.
Everyone sees it. Everyone, they're all going to do it. But unfortunately, they're all going to do it when their motivation is just for that final paycheck. I mean, we're seeing that.
Just terrible with these aging megastars going to MLS. Say, oh, I would much rather sign a no-name South American.
Yeah, no.
No, I bloody wouldn't.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I love it.
No, I agree.
More
it's
than
great.
Merrier,
hey,
I say.
I'll go see Steven. Hey, Steven Gerrard is coming at a time. Oh, you hurt your knee there?
Knee.
What a loser.
Just to describe for those at home, yes. Charmin's passion about his issue at MLS superstars came to fruition.
His kneecap, to be honest, with your injury history.
Yeah, probably. Like, my brittle bones at my age, too.
At your age, do you have less coverage than Dobby and I at your age? Like, do they limit that back?
I'm too old. They won't insure me.
You're on your wife's or what?
Yeah, seriously. Oh, that's really extremely painful.
All right. So this is a sign of what Steven Gerrard would be feeling in the next 18 months.
Oh, playing on turf.
Yeah.
Playing on turf, right?
There you go. Yeah. Is Frank Lampard coming or what?
Oh, that's a complete gong show as well.
Really?
Dean announced this, well, being divulged today, that he hasn't got any deal with New York City FC. He isn't at City on loan this season. He's there as a Man City player.
Right.
Very confusing situation here.
Sure.
But there's apparently no contract with New York City FC. So if Pellegrini decides, wow, Frank's still good, I want him back next year, maybe he never comes to New York.
He's been an integral part of their team this season.
Oh, yeah.
He's scored
massive.
Really big goals so far. Not only scoring goals, but big ones, important ones. He scored against Man City already. You know, he scored a couple times over the festive period. I mean, this is a guy that looks like he can still be a huge part of a possibly title-winning team in the Premier League,
why
go now?
I know he's scoring big goals, right? He's not going to start every game. He's going to be in that reduced role.
Sure, but he's a part.
Yeah, well, that's a great topic to discuss in relation to Steven Gerrard, too. I think we got a tweet, actually, on someone asking about how Gerrard admitted that he would have signed a contract in August with Liverpool for another year, but then he turned it down in November. And people saying, you know, hammering Brendan Rodgers and the Reds for this. And the point is, it's a different environment then than it is now. I think back then, if you look at Gerrard and what was happening in his career, he's coming off a great campaign. He quit England. He had a team that he thought could be, you know, contending once again this year.
Challenges.
Sure, I'm going to sign up again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be a key part. Fast forward 3 months, he's a bit part player. He's been told that by the manager.
Yeah.
Why would he sign?
And let me ask you this. Is Liverpool maybe going to be better off without him? And I say that in terms of, if he's there, say he signed another 3-year contract and he's there, Rodgers or whoever is there for that time is almost forced to play him because of his status and his longevity of the club and just, you know, him being a club legend. And you can't really start that new cycle or that new rebuild and that new, you know, leadership of that team that you need to compete again for Premier Leagues with him there.
You shackle the manager.
Right? You shackle the manager. You have that shadow over the whole team. Everyone knows that he's the guy and guys can't really take that role. And eventually it's going to come to an end. Maybe it's a little bit quicker than people wanted, but it
has to. Because he could have signed a 1-year deal with Liverpool in that reduced role. He could have gone the Ryan Giggs route or the Frank Lampard route at Chelsea even. Yeah, we want you back here, but you're not going to start every game. And Lampard agreed to that the last couple of years. Giggs agreed to that as well. Scholes did at United as well. Sure, I'll play a bit part.
Yeah.
Gerrard wants to play every day still.
He loves playing.
And he loves playing so much, right? Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. They would have been worse off by committing to him and saying, yeah, sure, you're still going to be the same Stevie G, because he just is not.
Sure.
So I think it works out really well for both parties. And I don't blame either party. I don't blame Liverpool, and I don't blame Steven Gerrard.
I tell you who it doesn't work out well for. Us. Us being North American football fans that live in Toronto, because as pointed out by our producer today, Emil, for the second year in a row, the Galaxy are not coming to Toronto this season, right? See the calendar? Mm-hmm. They TFC go out there in October.
TFC faced New York three times.
Wait a second.
I think twice, though, in Yankee Stadium.
They don't host the Galaxy?
Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong schedule.
Or if they do, it's before July.
See,
but,
Just Emil, came out yesterday, the schedule.
Emil can communicate via your headset, but he's communicating with me via text message.
Dobby's very sad right now. Emil's concerned about...
He's totally left out.
Yeah, how sad you are.
Why?
He's missing out on seeing Steven Gerrard in the Galaxy. You love the MLS so much.
I would have been to that game. I went to a few games last season, actually, early on, and then I just kind of was like, oh, whatever. I mean, a nice day, good weather, $15 pints. How can you go wrong? I mean, really.
It's great bang for your buck.
You can get tickets cheap. You know what? People were great on Twitter. If I ever, my dad gets halves on seasons with someone, so he'll take me. Or if like I need an extra, if people are going, I've put it on Twitter a couple times and people have given to me for whatever they paid their season, 10 bucks, like very honest. I mean, I'll pay 10 bucks to go anytime. It's a good day out.
Sure. I'm interested to see what the atmosphere is going to be like, especially when they start 9 games on the road. And come back with, let's assume, a losing record. What's that
going to
be like?
Let's assume.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Negative Nigel over there.
7-2 or something. Maybe 2 draws.
Yeah.
Not with Jose Altidore scoring goals.
Oh, boy. Stay away. I wouldn't do, you remember from back in the day.
He wants $5 or $6 million a year. That's the report.
That's crazy.
Can't be true. Come on.
No, of course it's true.
Banged in with
he's got one in the last, 46 or something?
I remember betting a former score employee, Sean Kay, who now works for TFC. I think the over-under was 11.5 goals for
Sean Kay would score more goals at TFC than Jose Altidore right now.
He scored one.
It's funny you made that bet with him because I used to make bets like that.
Yeah.
I used to make bets like that about, remember Nicholas Bettner?
Yeah.
But there was one year we did a preseason podcast and it was who's the standout? And you guys all had the standout new player. And you guys all had the big ticket signings, and I said, Hull City, Jose Altidore, give over him. Like, oh, man, he's out of La Liga. He'll have a chance to prove himself. Phil Brown boss.
Quite well, didn't he?
At Hull?
No, prior to that, though.
Oh.
He scored some goals.
After that?
Yeah. Prior to Hull, back in Holland.
In Holland, yeah.
He scored a lot
of
goals,
right? Sean Kay and you guys could score double digits in Holland.
Yeah.
True.
Alfonso Alves?
Yeah, Alfonso Alves, yeah. Well, that's why Graziano Pelle is such a miracle.
Altidore, though, and Klinsmann still likes him, right? For whatever reason. He's still 25
years
old.
Good player.
He would score goals in MLS.
Sure he would.
I'm confident of that, but I don't think TFC should be spending a DP spot on a striker.
I completely agree.
That didn't work out very well, did it? Now, unless Gilberto's leaving, right, which, who knows, that would be a fit, I suppose. But they need to put a creative number 10 in that DP spot.
Well,
isn't that obvious?
I don't think, yes, they certainly need that. But I don't think that using a DP spot on a striker is a waste. For example, I just think it's the striker for the money.
Already, right, as a DP spot. That's one already.
Well, but if you were going to spend £100,000 a week, which is, 10,000 more than I think Jermaine Defoe was getting with TFC, to get, let's say, someone who's already making that, like Emmanuel Adebayor, I'd take that over paying Jose that money.
You'd say Adebayor over
Jose Altidore?
Oh, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No chance. Please.
Don't you think that he would be motivated?
Manu Adebayor is the biggest flake in world football.
You don't think that he would be motivated by
motivated?
This level?
You can't motivate
I know,
him.
That's why it's a funny.
I would take Adebayor over Altidore for sure.
For the same money.
I would take Adebayor over him.
Really?
Yeah.
Adebayor
you want to rely on that
goals.
Guy to lead... Your team.
He'd score more goals.
The playoffs the first time.
He'd score
if
more
he played
goals
every game, if he
yeah,
cared.
I know.
He doesn't care.
I think he'll be motivated
coming
over here.
Is that anything?
This is the best
he's a way
environment.
Player.
This is the best.
He's a way better player.
This is the best environment for him to perform, honestly, because he's.
But Altidore would come back to MLS and do well because sure. it's more suited to him, and you know it'd be more comfortable. I just think that the Premier League, you would think it would be because he's a big physical guy, but he just doesn't have. I don't think he has the speed and the
Adebayo does
awareness in the box to
finish. Adebayo's
got the speed. I'm talking about Altidore coming back and scoring in MLS.
Yeah.
He just said that Adebayo would score a lot of goals.
He would.
Maybe 5 years
not
ago.
Not talking about this.
No,
maybe
right
three
now.
Years ago.
Every time
right
Adebayo gets a run of games, he scores.
Every time. When was his last run of games?
Before his compassionate leave.
Late last season under Sherwood.
Oh, yeah. He was under great.
Sherwood, when Sherwood first took over because he was motivated for about 6 games.
He was on fire. Exactly. He still scores when he plays. It's like, it was like Defoe at Spurs. He wasn't getting a run.
Yeah, I'm not saying TFC have got to get, I mean, that's again, I'm not saying son Altidore. They've got to sign something that's proven, right? Neither Altidore at this point is proven, and certainly Adebayor is not proven, a guy you want to rely on for goals.
The only problem with Jose Altidore...
Have they learned from Defoe?
No, hold on.
You're going to trust Defoe, but not Adebayor?
No matter what TFC do, it's going to go to shit. We know that. So I'm just talking about in general.
He'll be
MLS.
Back in Togo.
Hey, we still want to get
back in Togo by the summer.
He's in Togo now. Yeah, that's why he hasn't been about.
Doesn't some witchcraft, some shaman.
Compassionately.
These are my favorite podcasts. Just talking about transfers. This is great.
The silly season. Brought to you by...
Keep talking, because I'm trying to find some out of your stats here.
I would be happy to take Jose Altidore on any MLS team. Be my team, I'd be happy to have Jose Altidore. The only sticking point is the money. That's what we're complaining about. Yeah, would you want Jose on your MLS team?
Absolutely.
Give me a list of reasons for why not. You'd struggle to find 10. But when you're talking about numbers like 5 and 6 million, that's the problem. But that's the precedent that's been set. The only one that's not making that money is Jermaine Jones, and he's still making 3 or 4 with New England, and that's not market value in comparison overseas. So this is the problem.
Jermaine Jones is also a very different player.
No, I know. I wasn't
going to have a real effect on the team.
But all I meant was in this class of American internationals. Who have now come home to earn better money than they would in Europe. This new class, right? He is at the low end of it. But if he's pulling that, then anyone with any intention to come play in the States or any inkling to think that, okay, this is the right time, they look at just what their teammates are making. You know, Dempsey and Bradley are making more money than they would make in England. That, to me, is mind-blowing as it is.
Yeah.
And to be able to play at home.
That's why they're here, though. That's the only reason they're here.
So the problem is, this is the catch-22. You're going to have players like Jose Altidore calling up like, yeah, I'll come back, but I'm getting 6.
Yeah, well,
do you not think that that's an inherent problem of MLS? I find that, you know, because, yes, they have a few of these big-name guys, and, yes, it's getting better, and the quality is. And, you know, I've been the first to rag on the MLS, and I still, you know, do to a certain extent. But I think a huge problem is that disparity that you have. These big top name guys making all kinds of money. And then you've still got Joe Schleppi, as you would say, making 50 grand trying to, you know, carve
getting
out
a
living, getting squat playing in that team who's still a vital part of that team. But it's just, you know, it's you're all or nothing in the MLS, really.
It's definitely a problem. And I wonder what it was like on the day to day. Like there are, if you live in Toronto, you know what City Place is this community with just nothing but condos. And there are a few guys on TFC that three of them live in the same, like, one bedroom in a den. You got three grown men, professional athletes.
I don't know now, and I know that the salaries come out and stuff. I remember at the beginning, though, way back in the day, and we saw some of those, like, some guys, I forget, like, was it Wagner, like, Mello or whatever, were on, like, 17K a year. Yeah.
Lombardo.
Like
Lombardo was making 17 grand.
Bear in mind that the CBA's up, right? End of this month. And there will be a new CBA, and part of that is to raise the prices of the lower end and the mid table. Because the average salary is around about $200,000, but the mean is 90.
Yeah.
So it's all front loaded with those high end players, right?
Sure.
And the bottom line is, how can you expect a guy in his mid 20s to make $20,000-$25,000?
Yeah.
There aren't many of them now in fairness. But it's tough, you're right. Adebayor, by the way, 1 goal in 9 games so far this season. So far.
9 games.
Yeah.
He's not going to play for Spurs again.
Yeah. And again, I'm not questioning the guy's talent. He's got all the talent in the world. At Arsenal, he was incredible.
Right.
With his head, brilliant.
But this is the price class.
Since then, he's been an absolute flake.
But this is the price class that you're talking. If you're going to spend 5 or 6 mil on designated player striker, which I think isn't a bad idea for TFC. I know it failed. I don't think it's a bad idea right now. You got to be looking at someone that deserves to be in that price class.
Well, in fairness,
Josie doesn't.
We say it failed, right? And I know I was kind of suggesting that, but had Defoe played the whole season, not got injured, and been happy, he would have scored 20 odd goals.
Sure.
They would be in the playoffs.
Yeah. So absolutely.
I know Kim Will. I'm just saying that they're great in need right now. Actually, they're great in need right now as a center half. But someone to actually create
Bradley,
and let Michael Bradley
too.
Play where he can play properly, you know, in a more of a deep position.
Do you think Bradley's going to be there next year, all year?
I don't know. I know everyone says the right things, but why, if he is offered a gig in Europe, I mean, I know he makes more money here, right?
And especially
the money
with
once Klinsmann's again,
comments, this guy wants to play, you know,
I don't know why
US
he'd be in
a long
this circus, really, apart from $6 million.
I think he strikes me
would motivate me as well.
So he strikes me as the player that obviously
you're close to that.
Well, that's not barely half.
Obviously like a thought that's gone through his mind, I'm sure, and he's been asked it a million times by buddies and professionals and media. But he strikes me as the type of guy that would give the city and the deal he committed to, like the benefit of the doubt, ride it out again. But if this season mirrors last season, he's out.
I think that's a good point.
He's out.
They start March 7th, which is less than 2 months, in Vancouver. They don't play at home until May 10th.
And that's their only game in May, am I right? At home?
Which helps. But it's a disaster.
But
hey, listen, there's this amazing new glistening, massive, enormous, world-class stadium to come back to.
Vancouver, Columbus, Salt Lake, Chicago, Dallas, Orlando, Philadelphia, and then finally.
Wonder how Kakar's going to fare Orlando this year, right?
He won't play a full season.
My dad's cousin actually plays for Orlando as well. He's going to be
really.
It's Kaká. Yeah.
Wow.
Really. Yeah.
Is he a Dobby?
Cousin, something like that. His name's not Dobby. No.
That's unfortunate.
Luke something or other.
So he's your dad's second cousin. So what is he to you?
He's my I don't know, like third cousin, I guess. Then.
What is the twice?
My dad's cousin's child, so that's his second cousin.
Okay, so he's your.
So he'd be my like third cousin.
Your stepdaughter.
Yeah, my stepdaughter. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well done. Congratulations.
All right.
So you should be rocking your Orlando shirt pretty soon.
No, I'm not.
Well, in the Magic, right?
Oh, speaking of, Putter, the biggest story of the holidays, I forgot. The Dobby Dunlop Derby number 2, Sheffield United 3, QPR 0.
Right, yeah.
Big. Huge.
Not this Dunlop, okay? Not this Dunlop. That's my brother's devastated team.
Unbelievable.
Well, what's funny is how there's two things to that, is that the Blades, regardless of where they're playing in the lower leagues, always happen to impress in the cups.
It's unbelievable.
And QPR couldn't win a cup game to save their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People say it was the least upset they've ever seen. It's just kind of one of those where it's almost like, oh, okay, ho-hum, League One beats Premier League away. But with those two teams, it wasn't shocking. So
no, not at all.
We get a run starting on Tuesday the 20th. What the hell is it? Tuesday the 20th, I believe. We're at Spurs. And we're at Preston that weekend in the fourth round of the FA Cup. And then we're home to Spurs in the second leg of the League Cup. So three cup games in a row.
You know what I wonder about Dobby as we all get older, and eventually Dobby and I will be as old as you.
Actually, it's impossible.
If I die tomorrow.
Yeah,
but
true.
Will there be...
very possible.
All right.
This knee's killing you right now. It could be... maybe there's something they're going
to
discover.
What New Year's resolution do you have this year to keep yourself...
The usual.
The usual? Yeah, me too. I've told myself I'm going to start eating healthier.
There's no need for whiskey on Wednesdays. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
I haven't had one drink all week. It's amazing.
I put on 10 pounds in December.
Did you?
10 pounds.
I've started drinking
booze. Saturday. It's pretty good.
I've started drinking bourbon to get off of beer.
That's
but I don't know how long this is going to last.
That's much better for you.
I don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah. I started doing heroin to stop smoking weed. It's really
working. By the way, I'm watching The Nick.
Oh, it's good,
Didn't I tell you? So good.
Really
He's trying to wean off cocaine with the opium. Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll work. Great show.
How many have you watched?
One left.
Yeah, I know. You fly through it. Now we got to wait a season. Same, like, I went through all my shows. Ray Donovan, it's like waiting.
Ray's
I think
so
it's
good.
Not until, like, the summer.
You tear through them in about a week and a half.
I know. The Nick. Yeah.
It's all about pacing. So I'm going to go back to the brilliant revelation that I was coming
everywhere,
to.
Right?
Man,
these are the best ones. Yeah. These are the best ones. But I wonder, like, if, you know, it won't be measurable for years. But will Dobby have inspired a legion of Sheffield United fans? Or not even fans, but let's just say people that pay attention. Like, oh, what are those Blades doing? And take a look at it. Much the same way that Graham Leggett created the Scottish Premier League in this country. Because no one in Canada would give a shit about Scottish football if it wasn't for Soccer Saturday.
Do they still?
Or Bobby McMahon.
No, they don't. No,
yeah,
but Bobby McMahon didn't really fly the flag for the Scottish football in the same way.
That perhaps Graham Leggett had bigger numbers than this podcast.
I do as well. Yeah,
probably.
Tom's trying, though. Well. You should get an honorary Blades Knighthood or something at some point.
But there are a lot of people in that time frame that were introduced to soccer or new to soccer, as we still encounter, you know, people that are relatively new, that think or thought at that time that Scottish football was a big deal, because they'd open that show with the biggest Premier League game, and then they would say, now here's the Scottish table. Yeah. And, like, I thought Hearts were a real club, a real contending
it's
club.
It's so unbelievable. Give me some hits. You mentioned it, though, because I remember as a kid watching it with my dad, and that's how we saw the Sheffield United scores from the week before.
Yeah.
Because there was no internet, and you didn't want to spend on a long-distance call. Yeah. Only if it was a big game, call up on that week, on that Saturday to find out how they did. But that was literally how we found out.
Yeah, yeah.
The next week.
Crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Fully into web.
Now it's like, we know the goal's gone in before it's actually gone in. It's just like, oh, goal. Oh, I saw it online before.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
The predictive app.
Good for betting.
Yeah. Very handy, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Control the show again, Sharms. Where do you want to go?
Well, on a more serious note, you mentioned the Blades there. Are they playing Oldham? At some point they will, right?
We will at some point. Yeah.
So that's going to be awkward. Chet Evans won't be returning to face his old club, because Oldham have pulled out of that ridiculous transfer, obviously, today. Now, the irony is, it's sickening. So Oldham approached Chet Evans and said, yeah, we'll sign you. We want to sign you. But obviously, huge backlash
from
fans.
Rightly so.
And from sponsors. But some people are now were apparently threatening the Oldham board, and actually threatening the daughters of some board members, and saying, if you sign this guy, we will rape your daughter. What? Who are these?
Yeah.
Sick people,
but it's a stretch. Who are these imbeciles? What a sordid affair. Well, why Oldham would even think about, you know, signing this guy to begin with, I don't understand it. But, man, it just takes you into that little subculture of football fandom, doesn't it?
Where are we as a society?
I don't know.
Someone's idea, that would cross someone's mind to even utter that. Awful.
But, I mean... Yeah, the whole thing is ridiculous. At the same time, from a legal perspective, he should be given a chance to play again, right? Mm-hmm. He served his penance, right? Legally, but this isn't a legal issue, is it? I think this is a moral issue.
It's a moral issue. Sure.
So let him go play in Malta for the league leaders, as he agreed to.
I've seen this kind of, you know, festering for a long time now, just as a Sheffield United fan. And immediately, as soon as it was kind of that he's going to be released soon, and, oh, he's going to come back and train and this and that. And there's been this huge, you know, side of the fence, should we or shouldn't we? And way too many people for my liking on the forums I kind of am on and see in whatever Facebook group just wanting him to come back or wanting them to sign him. And I just couldn't really fathom it. There's a million players out there. You know what I mean? Like, why?
I mean, I'm not
why
saying
it have to
if
be
he was
him?
Good, it'd be okay, because it's not. You know, Leo Messi shouldn't be signed.
No, it doesn't matter. But
it's Chet Evans.
Exactly.
Right? It's Chet Evans.
It doesn't matter who it is. You're right. But
The fact is, why would you even give him a chance? Legally, he has a right to work and you know, apply his trade, but no club is legally obligated to try and sign him. And why would they? From the PR standpoint, you can't win.
No.
You just can't win.
You're not going to get enough out of him on the field
to justify,
A, I mean, there's no justifying the morality behind it. I mean, he's a convicted rapist. It's just, that's it. I mean, I'm sorry, you've been convicted. And for those saying, oh, he's done his time, well, that's fine, but find something else to do or not at our club, you know, is what they have to say. And B, to go from the playing standpoint, are you going to get enough out of him on the field where he hasn't played in that long to deal with that circus? Why would you want that? Why would you want that?
And I do wonder, had he been signed, had he started scoring goals, how soon before the home support accept him?
Oh, not long at all, because that's how it is. That's how it is, especially.
And that's what Oldham were banking on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually issued an apology tonight to his victim. Finally.
Wow.
You know, there's a hate campaign against her. Anyway, you should move on. I hate doing serious issues on this podcast. But anyway, it was a big issue today, big story. Some other transfers for you, Tom. Valdez, as Victor Valdez, off to Manchester United. Is he to back up De Gea, or is he to replace De Gea when he goes to Real Madrid next year? That's the question.
It's puzzling, isn't it? It's so puzzling. I think Victor Valdez was always considered like the weakest link of that successful Barcelona dynasty. Under Pep, and is a great keeper, but I just didn't understand the way things went with him once he said, you know, I'm leaving, I'm not re-signing for Barca. I thought it was a power play just to get more money. He thought he deserved it. He certainly had earned the right to have that conversation, but then to end up now in this circus, especially in a season when David De Gea has been great, optically it looks bad from Manchester United's perspective, regardless.
Unless they know he's leaving.
If they, yeah, of course. If they are banking on that, then I see that being smart. But at the same time, I think that they should do everything they can to keep him from leaving.
Yeah, oh no, for sure. But again, it's that whole Spanish connection. If a Spanish, I don't know who was a fan of growing up, but it's a good chance it was Real Madrid or Barcelona, right?
Yeah.
And if it was Real Madrid and you have a chance to, at 22 years of age, mm-hmm. to join Real Madrid as their goalkeeper,
yeah,
it's tough to keep him, even if you're Manchester United.
It's been a wild ride for him because when he started, I mean, he was out of favor. And there was a lot of call. I mean, it was Lingard, right, that they were basically swapping mm-hmm. matches for a little bit. And it was like, well, who of these guys is going to step up? And I venture to say De Gea has been one of the top three most important players in the Premier League so far this season. I mean, he's right there.
Sure.
He's been their best player.
He's been their best player. And he's been
the most consistent.
He's been incredible. I mean, some of the saves that game against Everton, I remember, he just was amazing to save them 3 points. And without him, you wonder. I mean, Valdez hasn't exactly been playing consistently or doing anything of note for a while. Is that really a guy that you want to throw in there?
That
could cost him 12, 15 points in a season.
Maybe you figure you get him now. I don't know what the contract is. I wouldn't think it's going to be a 4 or 5 year deal right
18
now.
Months.
18 months. There you go. 18 months. So you sign him, you put him in some cup games, you assess him. And then if worst case scenario, De Gea leaves, you know what you have in him at least.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was talk about him going to Liverpool there for a while, which is why I think this is concerning for United, because he could have signed for Liverpool and straight away taken those gloves.
Sure.
Mignolet, straight away, number one keeper. But he's rather go to United for a backup role. Interesting. We'll see how the off season plays out this summer, because if you're a United fan, you're a bit nervous right now. That's for sure.
I could see De Gea with Real Madrid.
Well, how nervous are you that across the street, that the equivalent to Falcao and spending that money is Wilfred Bonny?
Well, you know what? I think £30 million isn't a bad deal for him.
I don't think so either. He scored the most goals in 2014.
Yeah, I know. I just
how much these players go for. Now.
I know. I just
Although,
feel like
it's a different animal with Swansea to Man City. There are more, weapons and
he's a
helping, but
beast. He does everything so well.
The pressure, though, and the what comes with the expectation there.
I think he's a great
foil
for Aguero too. Two of them together up front, because he does play in that 4-4-2. Yeah.
I just don't think it is that
Nasri and Touré pulling the strings for
caliber. He's not. I don't think that he's a Champions League caliber striker.
I think it's hard to say until you see him in
Champions League,
but I think he's really impressed me.
Yeah.
And you listen to defenders who have marked him, they say, this guy is impossible.
Such a handful,
you don't know what he's doing. Not only is he huge and strong, but he is pretty quick.
Yeah.
He's got a great turn of pace.
And he got, he got his country out of a World Cup group with Greece in it, right? Oh, wait, that didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. So,
you're saying that Georges Samaras is better than Wilfred Bonny?
I think that Georges Samaras should play every day. Yeah, exactly.
For someone, anyway. I think it'd be interesting. It really will. And if you're Swansea, I think they bought him for like 10 or something.
10 or 12, yeah.
Yeah. Around there, I think. Good
profit.
Maybe less than that.
Where from again? Was it in
France? Lille? Yeah. Maybe?
That sounds
probably
right.
Lille.
I mean, if you're Swansea, you have to do it, right? I mean, you got to take that money and run.
They signed that deal earlier this year, I imagine, on the reason.
Yeah.
Being that we can now put a little clause in there.
Sure.
And get $30 million for him. And
you got Gomez as that kind of ready-made, similar type player.
Very much so.
Not nearly at the same level right now. But
so there's a comparison.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
I thought that
Rachel.
I thought that Gomez would have a bigger impact. And maybe he will now with if he is the number one guy. And I assume come January, Bonny will leave and he will be. But I just think that the 30 mil is crazy. And don't City still have players they need to get rid of?
Well, Negredo might be sold now, right? Because he's loaned
permanently
at the moment. So he's not coming back. So maybe they sell him.
Where is he? Sevilla?
Yeah, I think it's Sevilla, isn't it?
Well, that's where he came from. Did he go back there?
It was
Valencia,
that's right.
Yeah, Valencia, who are, by the way, are playing some pretty impressive soccer this season.
Ended Real's 22-match win streak.
Yeah.
Real lost to Atletico again yesterday. They've lost to Atletico three times this season.
Nuts.
Torres, but
they've
Torres
got the number.
Yeah.
How about this guy for how many years now in this podcast?
Torres,
And now he's back to Atletico. And they worship him there. 40,000 people came out to see him train.
I know, crazy.
It's unreal.
Hope it works out for him. Not going to, is it?
But he wishes the last 5 years
people don't
of his
have,
life didn't happen.
Those people don't have jobs, so you can understand why they showed up.
That's racial.
It's not racial. It's circumstantial.
Okay, no. Emil's agreeing it's racial.
Not at all. Not at all. It's circumstantial.
We do have to wear headphones, eh?
Yeah.
You say, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that. It's anti-Spanish. It's xenophobic.
No, I wouldn't. That word is inappropriate.
You just said that situation. All Spanish people are unemployed.
No, you said 40,000 people showed up in the middle of the day to see Fernando Torres train, to which I responded, they don't have jobs, so that's fine. They have a 28%
sweeping generalization.
Well, there's a 28% unemployment rate in the country of Spain.
Maybe they
so let's
have
go with that.
When was last time you worked? By the way, last weekend, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Thursday,
what
man.
Are you on about?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
I worked on Tuesday. You I'm working
gone.
Tomorrow.
You could have been out there at the stadium, couldn't you?
Hey, see, Jackie Redmond's in tonight.
Don't be jealous. I do the same Jackie amount of shows as everybody else.
Charmin, tweet for you from Daniel Ruiz. Ooh. Is your cat okay after the World Juniors final? Apparently, you were tweeting.
You
didn't see? It was one of the best ones while Twitter was broken. That went out there.
Wallace was very nervous. Wallace the cat. He had a tough time because he's a big Canada fan, obviously. And I just tweeted some pictures of him during the drama that unfolded.
Yeah, he's heavily constipated.
Daniel, he's good, man. Wallace is fine now. He's still wearing his Canada jersey. Bit upset that Randy Carlyle's been fired. You know, he's a big Randy fan. He told me he goes to possession. Possession stats mean shit.
Mm.
Anyway, that's Wallace the cat. I might start up a Twitter feed called Wallace the Cat.
Yeah,
there you go.
Where did Wallace come from?
Anfield Cat.
Yeah, that was great.
Does this go back to your Scottish heritage? Did you name it after William Wallace?
No, it wasn't actually, but I see why it might.
Wallace and Gromit?
Yeah, Wallace and Gromit. Right. Actually, that was more where it came from, actually. Yeah, Wallace
there
Gromit.
You go.
Fantastic.
I'm just looking
series.
At these tweets that, you know, you send out and then never refer to, but, you know, for some reason, I'll look at them. I feel like we've gotten most of them. Jay Karn, Barcelona, we kind of touched on that. Charmaine Straker, old school listener. Frank Lampard and Man City and NYC. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Ginger TFC, Josie, did that. Terry Bucknell said, should refs and linesmen be made to explain bad and missed calls?
Ooh, sadist.
It's a can of worms.
Yeah. I say no. It's bad such a hard job, and they're going to get some blatantly wrong, and then they can't defend it afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can on camera say, yeah, sorry, I screwed up. I cost you 3 points and relegation. Sorry.
Yeah, there's nothing positive about that. You want to help them out, give them access to video replay.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Make it a couple things that they can, you know, we've seen the examples, I think, done in baseball and football that soccer could really learn from.
Yeah, there's no mistakes in the NFL, you know, like picking up pass interference calls that like change a game like this past weekend, you know. Yeah.
Hey,
Lions
hey.
Still fuming.
The other football podcast. This is the other football.
Well, you know.
When is that Super Bowl game anyway?
February 1st.
Did you, speaking of... football and mixing the two. The big striker for Wimbledon.
Oh my
whose
god!
Name I
can find you.
Yeah, Hackenfinway. Yeah,
massive. Hackenfinway Park.
He told he told a great story once about he got pulled over and the cop asked him what he did. He says, "I'm a footballer," and he's like, "Oh yeah, I watched Super Bowl. I'm well into it." What? No, I'm a footballer. Yeah, yeah. I love the Super Bowl. NFL was great. No, like proper football. Cop didn't believe him.
What was he, like 250, right? Around there?
Yeah, I think so. Like big, it might be bigger, actually.
He's huge, though.
Huge, huge man. He's a striker.
I know.
Yeah.
It's great.
TFC should sign him up.
Too bad he couldn't score enough goals against Liverpool.
I bet you he wouldn't be asking for $6 million, eh? Yeah. TFC?
You can ask for it. You can ask for it. You can demand all you want.
Who'd Liverpool get in the next round of the FA Cup? Forget.
Yeah, I was looking at it just yesterday.
Right.
All right, moving on.
Can I just, hold on. Can I just go back to something that we mentioned?
I think it's actually, it's a Bolton. Bolton.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
right.
I was wrong when we were talking
about
Bolton.
No, I don't believe that
Next
for a second.
Next, right? Bolton. MLS, right?
The listeners have no idea what we're talking about.
But for Lucas Pankari and those that have listened to every show.
Yeah, Henners. Yeah.
We stayed
with Henners in England. There.
When we were talking about Spain and you accused me of being racialist and xenophobic and a bunch of other words, I had said that the unemployment rate was 28%. That's incorrect. But our producer, Emil, has confirmed that it's 24%. And when Torres last played for Atletico, the unemployment rate was 8%.
Really?
Wow.
So Torres leaving has screwed the economy in Spain, clearly. I mean, who's making those Torres shirts the last 8 years or so, eh?
Looking forward to the infographic that comes up because of that stat.
Nice foam finger.
It is interesting, isn't it? Also, with what's on the back of it.
Yeah, it's very amusing, actually. It certainly isn't.
There's a foam finger in this Fan 590 studio with a big rival's name right on the back of it. The voice of Leafs Nation.
Any more tweets there?
I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Some twat called Chris Dobby, wasn't he? In tweet something out as well.
We wanted to talk about his glory days. He scored Score FC
circa 03 and I guess Champions League.
Funny because on Tim and Sid today, there was a whole thing about an old Score FC, FC story.
With Sid with the captain's armband. Yeah,
I thought some of the information may have been mixed up though with other teams.
It was because I wasn't there for the armband game, but he brought me up. My brother had texted me at. They mentioned you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I threw it on, and then like Sid kept like they kept ranting about it, and then somebody had sent in a picture of Sid with the armband. I retweeted. Like my Twitter blew up today. I got like a million favorites and like retweets and new followers from it. So
nice.
I think if you go to the site sportsnet.ca, you go to listen, you can find Tim and Sid's podcasts.
Yeah.
2 p.m. hours when they talk all about this infamous.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Infamous
with
day
Darren
where
Millard on
the
phone
score the Score FC had our first game in a match in an organized league like level E beer league indoor soccer and Sid came out with the captain's armband on.
and we got smashed
about 11-0 in that game.
Is that when Sam Sestar like puked in the garbage can and stuff?
Yeah, two of them are puking. I think there's Rowie puked as well.
Yeah.
It was awful. We came out on these lovely new shiny
shirts.
What
a team. Was it Soccer Center? Soccer City.
Yeah. And, you know, headbands, new shirts, tucked into our shorts, you know, socks to the knees, brand new boots. Looked amazing.
TV 11-0.
We were just awful.
Oh, awful.
And Sid was our captain with a captain's
armband. Remember when JoJo fell off the bench? To pick up that time.
He was up there with Seth Blatter falling off the stage.
Oh, my God.
So people don't really care about this.
No,
but it was very funny. We had this one teammate, old editor at the Score, and about as athletic as, I know.
Dunlop?
One-legged.
Dunlop.
Exactly. No, you were like Leo Messi compared to this guy. And,
sorry, that's me.
Okay,
that's
anyway, so, you know, we're just, between shifts, it's like at a hockey rink, essentially, right? You jump over the boards. Jump over.
As you do.
JoJo watched us doing it, and, I'll try that next shift. And just arse over tip,
felt
face first.
So hard. You thought, like, somebody had been shot.
Mid-game.
It was just like, whoosh. Like
this big.
It was amazing. And then you see him on the ground, and I saw the whole thing go. It was very good.
Just some terrible athletes in that team. They mentioned pukers.
Athletes.
I think we were involved in more fights than we were in goals scored. Pretty sure.
Well, people that work in television and sports media have far worse lifestyles and eating habits than people that work in many other professions.
We're awful.
If you're a construction worker, you might not have very good eating habits, but likely your work is very physical and your physical health is probably better than ours.
No
we
doubt.
Sit at desks and watch games constantly and don't prepare meals. So anyone that works in radio and television, if they have a good lifestyle and are healthy, they're a specimen.
You used to call it the score 20. When you first joined the Score, you put on 20 pounds in the first 6 months because you just go out boozing and eating bad. And everyone did it, went through it at some point. It was fun. Those were the days. And then you joined an organized soccer team. Anyway, this weekend, some big games. Chelsea, Newcastle, Everton City. What about Everton?
They're awful.
0 points over Christmas.
It's crazy.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
At what point does Roberto Martinez start looking over his shoulder?
Oh, I think that would be premature and unfair. I think he deserves, he deserves time and patience. I know that doesn't happen in the Premier League anymore with any manager, but you look at what he's got to work with, and they're underachieving now, certainly. But he's done a lot.
They've overachieved.
They've overachieved
for years with Moyes and with him. And he always thought that, the size of their squad and the relative thin squad would catch up to them at some point. It's kind of happening now. I mean, geez, without Lukaku, where would they be? He's still bagging their goals. They almost went out of the FA Cup to West Ham. They needed a 92nd minute equalizer to just get a replay. I mean, this is a team that, is starved for a cup run at least to give them something. So thank God they got that. But
lots of injuries too, at the back
step,
especially.
Big
really
step
hurt them
back,
this year.
Though,
you can't
year.
Have Sylvain Distan as a center back for some big games. You can't have that anymore. Yeah.
He
Maybe
was
5 years ago. You could,
but yeah,
sure
even
you
2
could.
Years ago, he was playing well above
his
weight and his class.
Too many injuries.
I think Baines goes soon. I mean,
he seems so committed, man. He could have left for Manchester United a year and a half ago.
Worked out well for Fellaini. I mean,
yeah. Well, and Baines is still playing really well. Seamus Coleman's playing well. I mean, I think Coleman's more likely to leave than Baines.
I think so too. Of course, everyone wants Barnsley.
Barkley.
Everyone
wants
Phil Barkley.
But I mean, Ross Barkley, I mean, listen, he's coming off a really bad injury and he's not even close to what he was. Yeah. He showed some glimpses over Christmas, but, you know, he'll be better the second half of the season. So they'll be fine. I mean, they're not going down.
No.
And I'm with you. It's too soon to ditch Martinez, obviously. But
they should be miles up on Villa at the moment, and they're not.
Villa, I can't believe they only have 11 goals this season. That is staggering.
It's crazy.
That's the lowest out of any team in the English Football Association.
Of all 92 teams. Yeah, it's unbelievable to think of. But you look at the roster and you can totally see it. I mean, but
is that his fault? Lambert's fault? He can't score goals. The fact that they're actually out of the drop zone, having scored 11 goals, should be a testament perhaps to his system.
Sure, yeah. Well, the correction based on the last few years is that they no longer concede. It's no longer guaranteed that they will concede within the final 10 minutes of a match. Therefore, they hang on to these scoreless draws. Or these 1-0 victories, but they've only, of their five or six wins, they've only ever won by one goal. And I mean, you know, Benteke is still rounding himself into form. He was suspended. He hasn't had a long run since he's been back. So he's nowhere near what he's capable of. And then he's not really getting the service. That's been the issue with Villa for the last 10 years. So,
and that's also Lerner's fault, though, too, right?
Goals aren't going to come.
Because he's trying to sell the team.
Spending in the right ways. You know, you stop. Yeah, every transfer window, it's what can we do as a stopgap? Oh, bring in Joe Cole. Bring in Kieran Richardson. You know, Richardson's done well. Joe Cole is a shadow of himself.
Ron Vlahos out for 6 weeks now as well.
Brutal. So, hey, Kieran Clark, here's a big break for you.
But then they've got a defense that's worthy of, you know, if you look at the teams that have conceded less goals than them, it's only the top four that have conceded less goals than 22.
That's remarkable.
You know, every game under pretty much, right? 33 goals combined in their 20 games.
That's the under.
Yeah, goal and a half average. Crazy.
Sure. Palace take on Spurs. Alan Pardew at Palace. Still a little bit odd, isn't it?
So weird. You know, kind of. I walked in that day and Dobby and I were doing the Sportsnet Central shows, obviously. And Dobby, what? Why would Pardew leave? Well, I couldn't put up with the situation with Mike Ashley. So you go to Palace where that situation has been ridiculous for the last three seasons. How many managers have they gone through and how much power struggle has there been with every time they seem to find the right guy, let him go.
I know.
Not worth it. He's done.
I imagine that he's been given a far more autonomy than
Tony Pulis.
Well, Pulis wanted more autonomy, yeah. And listen, he's in London and after a while, the fans were never going to accept him at Newcastle and it's got to grind on you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it has to.
Why do you need that?
You're not wanted. Exactly. Why do that?
Yep.
Even you're not wanted.
Even when you're winning and you won seven straight games, you know, people are begrudgingly accepting
you. Exactly. You lose, it's your fault. If you win, it's in spite of you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win.
So I don't blame him at all, but you're right.
Very well said.
And where else would he go at this point?
Yeah.
And Palace, listen, they have a bit of money. You know, they're an ambitious club, and you're right, it's been a nightmare, but listen, he signed Neil Warnock, what do you expect?
I think Pulis to West Brom is a very good move for
clever.
Them.
Very smart. Yep.
Manchester United against Southampton. Marquee matchup.
What time is
that? As we all call back in August.
That's Sunday at 11.
Sunday 11.
Yeah.
Good.
Man United stole 3 points at Southampton about a month ago, if you remember that game. It was on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. So, well, Southampton have, really steadied themselves, actually. Their Christmas period was outstanding. Mm-hmm. I would say they might have had the best one of anyone.
Tied with City with the most points.
Yeah. Based on, you know, where they had been after that bobble and after Sheffield United beat them in the cup, it was kind of like, okay, well, here it comes. They thumped Everton 3-0. They won 3-1 at Palace. They drew Chelsea, and then they beat Arsenal. So they got 10 points of 12 in that stretch with the last two games against Chelsea and Arsenal. That's very impressive.
And the fact that went through December, you know, losing to some big teams and losing four straight and then responding by tying Chelsea, beating Arsenal. Yeah. I mean, what a great, great statement that is.
Very good. They had their little bobble, but now, you know, they've come back and kind of said that, no, we still are going to be a force and competing for those European places. It's very impressive.
Yep, it is. Well, fellas, we're about out of time here, I think. It's been fun.
It's a pleasure. We should do this more often.
We should do it maybe every Thursday.
Yeah.
It's an idea, isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah.
I'll be here next Thursday.
All right.
Sure.
Cool. Let's do it. Behind the glasses, Emil, without him, we are nothing. We are scum. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm so sorry.